Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text which serves as the basis for this morning's proclamation is the Old Testament reading for today from Amos chapter 7. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, what do you do when a preacher says something that offends you? What do you do when the preacher says something and you're thinking in your mind, oh my goodness, I can't believe he said that. What is he thinking? What do you do when you disagree and you are somewhat offended or confronted by the words of the preacher? You have options. You see some of the options in today's scripture readings. There is that first option in the Old Testament reading from Amos chapter 7, where we are introduced to a priest from Bethel named Amaziah. And Amaziah was offended by the preaching of Amos, the preacher. He had heard of what Amos was preaching, and Amaziah, the priest, did not like it. See, prophets in those days, at least the ones that were popular, they usually followed a pretty set structure to their message, to their sermon. They would first talk about how bad the other nations around them were. Woe to Babylon because Babylon has done this. Woe to Egypt because Egypt has done that. Woe, woe, woe to all these other nations. And then the end of the sermon would be, but blessed and be comforted, O Israel. You are the children of God. You're doing fine. Amen. That's how you're supposed to preach in the Old Testament. Amos was not preaching that way. Amos was confronting the children of Israel. He was actually preaching against the children of Israel. Chapter 3, verse 8 of Amos, he says, "The lion has roared, the Lord God has spoken." God is roaring like a lion, and he is not roaring against the enemies, he's roaring against his own people, the children of Israel. Through the prophet Amos, this lion, the Lord, says, "I will not turn back my wrath against you," not against them, against you. He says, "I will punish you for all your sins." He says, "Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. It will be a day of darkness and not light." The people were offended. "You can't talk to us like that. You can't treat us like we are common sinners, like everyone else who need to repent." Amaziah, the priest, gets word of this, and Amaziah, you heard it in the Old Testament lesson, he goes to Amos and he says, "Amos, you can't do this. You can't preach this way. You need to leave. Go somewhere else. We don't want to hear about our sins." Amaziah was a professional church preacher leader. He was very good at smoothing things over, at not ruffling any feathers. He was very good at putting a positive spin on everything so that people would always walk away feeling good and nice and comforted. Amos was not doing that. Amaziah tells Amos, "You've got to stop." So that's one of the options that we have when we are confronted by offensive preaching. We can just cancel the person, the preacher. You can walk out and never come back. You can go find another church. You can just outright refuse to hear what is being plainly said. That's one option. There's also the gospel reading for today where you have another Old Testament prophet, the last of the Old Testament prophets, which is John the Baptist. John the Baptist preached offensively. He offended people. He offended King Herod. You can almost hear or imagine John the Baptist's followers the day before John the Baptist is going to go tell King Herod what he's going to tell King Herod. And his followers would have said to him, "You're going to tell him what? You're going to say what? You can't do, don't do that. You're going to create a huge problem if you say that to King Herod." But John the Baptist did anyway. He said, "King Herod, it is wrong before God that you are married to your brother's wife, who, by the way, is also your niece." Little detail that's not in the gospel lesson, but that was a really convoluted family. John the Baptist confronted King Herod, said, you can't do this. King Herod was offended. His wife was very offended. So what do they do? What do you do when you're offended by the preacher's message? What did they do? They ultimately didn't just cancel John the Baptist. They had him executed. This is a very popular approach still yet today. You're reading through the scriptures, you're listening to a sermon, you're going through the catechism, whatever it might be, something in there jumps out at you personally. Something in there confronts you directly about something that's going on in your life where God is saying, through that preacher, through that scripture reading, through that catechism, whatever it is, God says, this is wrong. You need to repent. You need to stop. Maybe it's something about money. We get very easily offended about money. Maybe it's something about relationships. Inappropriate relationships. There's another big one. Maybe it's something about the church or participating in the church, whatever it might be. We're offended. What are we to do? As Christians, we take a different approach than the rest of the world. The rest of the world will just cancel that person or get rid of that person. We take a different approach. First of all, even as we are offended and being called personally and directly to repent, we ask ourselves, is what is being preached right now the truth? Is it from God's word? Or is this guy just making it up because he's trying to be a jerk? Could be that he's trying to be a jerk. I mean, there are preachers like that. But if this is from God's word, if what he is saying to me is confronting me and telling me to repent, and it's from God's word, then I can't just cancel it. I can't just walk away from it. I must listen. And also, as Christians, whenever we are confronted by God's word, we shouldn't be surprised. We should have sort of expected that, because when our holy God enters into the world and begins to speak to us and teach us, we, as members of this broken, sinful world, being broken, sinful people, we will, at one point or another, be offended. He's talking to me. He's talking about a sin that I did. We shouldn't be surprised when this happens. This is a broken and messed up world, and we are broken, messed up, sinful people. God's word, God's prophets will bring to us offensive messages sometimes. Actually, quite often. This is what prophets, by definition, are supposed to do. You look through practically every prophet in the scriptures, and you find them offending people. Not just offending people, but a big part of what they do is offending people. Moses, the prophet, goes to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he doesn't tell Pharaoh what Pharaoh wants to hear. He offends Pharaoh. He says, "Let my people go." The prophet Nathan, he didn't go to King David and tell King David exactly what King David wanted to hear. The prophet Nathan said to King David, "You are the man. You are the one who committed adultery and committed murder to try to cover it up. The prophet Elijah got in trouble with King Ahab. The prophet Jeremiah got in trouble with King Jehoiakim. The prophet Daniel got in trouble with King Nebuchadnezzar. Prophets, by definition, are to proclaim God's word, whether the culture likes it or not. We need to think about this carefully, because our culture increasingly is telling the church and telling Christians individually what we are not allowed to say, not allowed to do, not allowed to believe. We need to compare that carefully with what God's Word says. And there will be times when God's Word disagrees completely with the culture. We should be ready for that. We should expect that. In fact, if you find a religion that totally agrees with you in every respect, every opinion you have, your religion just goes right along with it. If you find a religion like that, you need to watch out. It is very possible you're no longer worshiping God. You're worshiping yourself. You have turned yourself into God. Let's not forget the most radical, offensive prophet of all. We talked about John the Baptist, talked about Amos, Nathan, all these others. The most radical and offensive prophet of all was Jesus, our Savior. Jesus once made a whip and used it to cleanse the temple. That was exceedingly offensive. Another time he looked the religious leaders of his day straight in the eye and he said, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You're like whitewashed tombs that look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside you're full of dead bones." He stood before his high priest and he confessed, "In the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Jesus was that lion Amos was talking about, and he roared. But this lion demonstrated his power and his authority most clearly in a very strange way, a very unexpected way. He demonstrated his power most clearly through weakness. His divine power was displayed through earthly weakness. Jesus allowed soldiers to scourge him and march him to Calvary. He let his executioners strip him and shove him to the ground and nail him to the cross. Jesus could have asked his Father to send 12 legions of angels to come and rescue him and get rid of all of his enemies, but he doesn't do it. He suffers and dies on a cross, and from then on, even to this day, that act of crucifixion, that ugly crucifixion, that is offensive. People don't like that. It's ugly. We don't want to look at it. It's too much to think about. Even in Paul's day, he spoke of people who were offended by this crucifixion for our salvation. Through this crucifixion, they thought that they had the lion back in the cage. They had told Jesus multiple times, "You can't say that," but he did anyway. And now they had shut him up for good. Or so they thought. On the third day, Jesus rose from the grave. Revelation 5, verse 5 says, "The Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed." It's talking about Jesus. Not even death could stop him. Jesus has been raised from the dead, and by our baptism into him, we are victorious over death as well. So we are children of the Lamb, followers of the Lamb who was sacrificed and rose again for us. When this lion roars, and sometimes he does, You and I need to listen and repent. Not do this cancel business. Not do this ignore him business. Not just walk away. We need to listen and repent, and God, who is faithful and just, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness by the blood of Jesus shed on the cross for you. This is his promise, and he is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.